Good morning.
Good
to see you all. We're turning for a Bible reading to the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, not Hebrews, because as I said last week, we're setting aside our normal study for today and Thursday in the will of the Lord, the final assemblies before you have your midwinter break. And I want to speak on the subject of Christmas, why we as Christians should distance ourselves, keep ourselves apart from the celebrations that go on out there in the world today. All right, let's read from Luke, the chapter 2. We'll start at the verse 8. The verse 8 of Luke, chapter 2. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, extremely frightened by this wondrous event. Boys and girls, if nothing frightens the human being more than the glory of God, because it brings home to us how far removed from God we are, brings home to men how guilty before God they are, and that one day they must face His judgment if they are not washed in the blood of the Lamb. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not. That's lovely. The first words, fear not. God doesn't want to frighten men. Rather, He wants to comfort them by giving them the good news of the gospel. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, including the boys and the girls in Kilskerry. All people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's an old term, but it's basically what you have seen every little baby wrapped up in its very early days. Nice warm blanket, keeping it cozy. Well, it was the same with the Savior. Swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. All the angels wanted to be there. They wanted to take part in the celebrating of the birth of Christ. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They left the sheep. They felt that they'd be safe enough for a little while. Anyway, it was more important to go and see the Lord Jesus. Nothing is more important than going and seeing the Lord Jesus. The world is filled with people who count the milking of cows, the making of money, the playing of games, the lying up on their sofa, more important than going to hear the Word of God and seeing the Lord Jesus. But not these shepherds. They left everything and they went to Bethlehem. Verse 16, and they came with haste. No dilly-dallying. This is something you need to act upon with haste. If you haven't yet got saved, then you're dilly-dallying. You're not showing any haste, and yet you should. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, or him, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. It wasn't a matter of when they seen Joseph, they went out and spoke of seeing him. Or a matter of when they saw Mary, they went out and talked about seeing her. No, it was when they saw the Lord Jesus, the babe, they went out and told everybody about seeing him. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. What does it mean she kept all these things? Well, let me tell you something, boys and girls. today, when I have finished, you will either keep all the things that I have said, or you'll forget them. Just throw them over your shoulder. You see, what Mary had seen and witnessed and heard from the shepherds, because they would have told her about the angels appearing and what the angel said, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart, thought about them. As she went about the duties there of looking after the Lord Jesus and looking after Joseph, she was thinking about what it was she had heard from the shepherds. That's what you have to do, what you should do with the teaching and instruction you receive from the Scriptures. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now may the Lord bless His word to our hearts. We sung that lovely wee hymn, Away in a Manger. Most people, most churches, would only sing that once a year. But in truth, the true child of God should sing that wee hymn and others like it about the birth of Christ throughout the whole year. Because the birth of Christ is not something just to be remembered once a year. It's to be remembered again and again and again. Like Mary, she kept all these things in her heart. We should keep the birth of Christ and what the Bible tells us about it in our hearts the whole year round. Sadly, at this time every year, around the whole world, there is an outbreak of celebration. Now, we're all aware of the COVID virus, aren't we? And you have come in here this morning and you have wiped your hands with that special sanitizing liquid. You've had your temperature taken, all as precautions against the catching of this virus. But there's a virus breaks out every year at this time, and the most of the population catch the virus. It's a virus that affects the mind and the heart of the people. It fills them with false notions and false ideas about the birth of Christ. Around the country, there's coloured lights hanging there and here and yonder. There's fir trees set up and decorated. There's all sorts of antics going on. And it's all supposed to be to commemorate the birth of Christ. But I tell you this, boys and girls, it has nothing whatsoever to do with the birth of Christ. Let me tell you, first of all, that Christmas was unheard of amongst Christians for some 300 years after Christ left this world and ascended to heaven. Paul never mentioned it. Peter never mentioned it. John never mentioned it. None of them ever instructed the early church, now remember, on the 25th of December, have a celebration to mark the birth of Christ. No, you'll not find that in the Bible. You'll not find that in the Bible. Rather, what became known as Christmas was actually a church that had departed from the Bible, left aside the teaching of the Word of God, and had taken onto itself this way, that notion, this idea from the world, and woven it into what they called Christianity. Now, sometimes as you're driving around with mum and dad in the countryside, perhaps not just as common these days, but you nevertheless may well have seen a scarecrow. You know what a scarecrow is. Well, the title tells you what it is. It used to be put up on fields where there was growing that which crows like to come down and pick and eat. And it's not that farmers didn't like crows having a wee bit of food, but crows have a nasty habit. I've seen it up there when apples were on my apple tree. They would come and land on the tree and they'd begin to pick at an apple. And they'd pick a wee hole in the apple and eat a bit of the apple, and then move on to another apple, and do the same, and on to another apple, and do the same. And before long, they'd have all the apples with wee holes in them. And it's not very appetizing to come along and start eating an apple that a crow had been clawing over. So they sort of ruined it. Oh, we wouldn't have minded them eating an apple. But it's when they ruined all of the apples. Well, now we don't like that. And farmers didn't like what crows had a habit of doing, to that which was growing in the field, things like turnips, etc. So they set up a scarecrow. And a scarecrow was only a sort of a collection of sticks. The farmer would push in one stick, get another one, tie it across the top, put an old jacket onto the stick, putting the sleeves on the two outstretched sticks, buttoning it up, putting an old hat, maybe even putting a turnip on the top of the stick to look like a head, then putting a hat on it. And crows, not being very smart, used to think, oh, the farmer's in the field, I'm not going to hear the turnips today. And this makeshift, this pretended man, thus scared the crows. And he became known as a scarecrow. Well, you passing one of these things in the field, you'd know that's not a man. It's only a collection of old sticks and old coats and clothes. Well, likewise, boys and girls, what goes on out there in the world in the celebration, supposed celebration, of the birth of Christ, it's only a make-believe escapade. It's nothing whatsoever to do with what the Bible tells us about the birth of Christ. In actual fact, what is being celebrated out there, dressed up as a celebrating of the birth of the Lord Jesus, is an old pagan, heathen celebration. Back in the days, in the Roman Empire, starting on what was the 19th of December, and lasting for about a week, there was this pagan midwinter feast, and people feasted. There was no work, and everybody just abandoned what they normally would have done, and they gave themselves over to eating and drinking. Even the law was relaxed, and when wrong was done, it was sort of overlooked. Consequently, for that period of about a week, there was great sin, great wrong, much crime committed as men and women got drunk and misbehaved. Pagan feast that lasted during this period. Now we can easily see that what takes place at this time of the year in the name of celebrating the birth of Christ is very like the same old pagan feast. It is the same. We have drinking to extreme. We have partying to extreme. And we have ungodliness to extreme. And it's all done, this is the important thing, it's all done in the name of celebrating the birth of Christ. It's all done in the name of Christ. And I want you to understand, therefore, what it is out there. See beyond the outer covering. See beyond the words that are employed and the use of the name of the Saviour. See beyond it all. The pagan feast all over again. The pagan feast all over again. And I want you to notice something else. As we look around us at this time of the year, the centres where these so-called celebrations of the birth of Christ take place are places that are anything but associated with the things of God. Pubs. The public house, it's all lit up, all decorated. It's putting on a show. This is one of the busiest times of the year for the pub, because it's taking part in Christmas celebration. The dance hall, likewise. There are parties here, there, and yonder, given over to drinking and wickedness, all in the name of celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are places that normally, the other 51 weeks of the year, these places are given over to blaspheming God, defying His law, laughing and mocking His name. And yet suddenly there is a change. And that which they have been doing for 51 weeks of the year, suddenly in this week there is this changing to supposedly celebrating the birth of Christ. And boys and girls, I don't need to explain to you that it's all a sham. It's all a sham. What do you think God thinks of this? The pub where his name is mocked and sneered the whole year round. Suddenly they're putting on a display of supposed celebrating of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think the Lord's pleased with that. He's not. He's not indeed. Then again, at this time of the year, law enforcement, the police force, is put on special alert. And policemen have to take special action to restrain lawlessness on the streets. Lawlessness amongst those who are supposed to be celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus. Police station cells are filled with those who are celebrating the birth of Christ and in their drunken stupor have been acting in a most lawless fashion and had to be arrested and restrained and taken off the street and put in a cell. That's a feature of this time of the year. There will be advertisements on television. There will be announcements in the press and senior police officers will make appeals. Please, don't get drunk as you celebrate Christmas. Now, you might not just be altogether aware of this, but it's so. It's so. That's what's happening. And the roads become all the more dangerous because of people who, having celebrated in some form or other the birth of Christ, have become drunk. And thus they have become real threats to life on the road as they drive. I was reading just yesterday of how the police are catching, every day, catching, this last little while, people drunk in this area. You've seen them, haven't you, out on the road, standing by the side of the road with that special gun that they have that can read the speed of a car. And when a car is speeding, well, they can stop it. And they have been doing that and discovering that more and more people are drunk because they're celebrating, supposedly, the birth of Christ. This is nothing more, boys and girls, than that same old pagan feast that took place long, long, long ago, just dressed up like the farmer dresses up the couple of sticks and makes it into a scarecrow. Well, don't you for one moment think that the scarecrow that is supposed to be a celebrating of Christmas is in fact true and real. How different is that which we read here in Luke, the chapter 2 earlier. Heaven and earth rejoiced. We read that the angels, first of all, rejoiced and glorified the Lord as they announced the birth of Christ. And then at the end of our reading, in the verse 20, it says the shepherds went home rejoicing at the birth of Christ. Oh, true joy concerning the birth of Christ only is to be found where, like the shepherds, there is a responding to and an obeying of the message of heaven. The shepherds said, come, let's go now. They didn't say, ach, it's still dark, let's go in the morning. No, they said, let's go now and see this thing which the Lord has made known unto us. Listen, boys and girls, if God makes known something to you in the middle of the night, he wants you in the middle of the night to obey him and go and see. He really does. Well, I'm telling you these things in order that you might look out there on the world and what it's doing and know the difference. No, it's not right. And I'm going to stay away from such activities. I'm going to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. But as the Bible tells me to, as the Bible tells me to. Oh, I hope that that's planted in your heart, as was what Mary heard, and that you ponder these things and think upon them. Think upon them. Now we'll take the matter a little further on Thursday in the will of the Lord when we come back amongst you. Let's bow together now, please, in prayer. Dear Lord, we have endeavoured to set out a little warning about the deceptions that take place today, the imitations that the devil have launched concerning the birth of Christ. Lord, may the boys and girls study what the Bible has to say as to why the Lord Jesus came into the world, not to make men drunk, but to save them from their sins. Answer prayer for us. Bless us today and bless the school. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.